And Ashley had asked me about chairing a verse. I really appreciated Sue's comments about the TMS memory system that a lot of us tried to incorporate in our youth, and it really was very, very helpful for me coming out of a very hedonistic lifestyle and not very disciplined lifestyle, and to kind of employ some of the strategies of Dawson Trotman and memorizing, just helping my mind get focused and not be totally for pleasure and self. So the verse that I was thinking about was 1 Corinthians 13, and God always gives you opportunity for application. At 3 o'clock this morning, we have a new puppy, and she was crying loudly, which was not a good sign. And sure enough, she had messed in her cage, and so I had from 3 to 4, I was out cleaning up the cage and giving her a bath and praying, Lord, love is patient, love is kind. The righteous man has regard for the life of his beast. Verses like that came to my mind. So anyway, God's word is always very helpful. It's, you know, I think one of the very first verses I ever memorized was that no temptation will overtake you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also. So he is always faithful in that. 1 Corinthians 13 is the verses, just the first few verses I was thinking about. And so I guess just preceding that was, I thought it was very interesting, 1 Corinthians 12 ends with, Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Because the Corinthians were kind of competitive and challenging one another and arrogant and wanting spiritual gifts, and Paul said, I'm going to show you even a better way than all these spiritual gifts, which are really cool, and God has a great purpose for them all. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gifts of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails.
My name's Melissa. I see some new faces out there, and my husband and I have been doing the Zoom thing for a while now. But we are so glad to be back here and see your faces, and Happy New Year. So I hope you've all enjoyed your time at home with families. I know that's what it's been for David and I, and it's been wonderful. But, you know, as I'm a reflector, and sometimes I drive David crazy, I go, you know, we really need to talk about this. And it's like, you know, but I do. And as I began to reflect on the new year, because this year was a challenging one. And I thought about what it was that I want, in this new year. And I thought, well, Melissa, you really need some good news. That's what I need. I need some good news. And I, because a lot of my things, you know, this year had some real low lows that I've shared with a lot of you, with my children. You know, we've had some loss of life close to me and within our church family. And obviously the isolation is not good for me, a people person. So it's been really a challenge. But what I want to say is that as I thought about more of that good news, I decided I already have that. I have the good news. I know what it is. And so, and then I started thinking some more, and I was telling David, you know, I said, I admire Jack so much with his inability to forget about missions. He just does. He has us praying for them, praying for those people groups. He has us praying and remembering those people that are out there giving out the good news. And so that kind of stuck with me. And then David and I were cleaning up Christmas morning after our family had left. And I found, most of you have not met my mother. She was here last Christmas probably. And she always has a way of doing something phenomenal and leaving her touch somewhere. You'll find it later. And it's something you're like, wow, that's really cool. But this year, it was an invitation. And I thought, what is this? So I was looking at it. This is what I found. And, you know, I said, David, did you read that? And he's like, yeah, I did. I said, what'd you think of that? And we both thought it was pretty cool. And what it is it's an invitation. And I thought, well, why are you leaving it this my house, Mom? You know? So, because once I read it, I knew. I'm like, I already understand this. But I'll tell you the story afterwards once I figure it out, once I read to you this invitation, because we don't know what's coming in this year. We don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know whether it's just going to be in our homes again, if we're just going to be isolated and only be able to invite those in that are comfortable, you know, coming into our space. We don't know what it's going to be like, but I do want the good news to be in my home. So this says, you're cordially invited to a birthday celebration. Guest of honor is Jesus Christ. The date, every day, traditionally December 25th. But he is always around, so the date is flexible. Time, whenever you're ready. Please don't be late though, so you'll miss out on all the fun. The place in your heart, he'll meet you there. You'll hear him knock. The attire is to come as you are. Grubbies are okay. He'll be washing our clothes anyway. He said something about new white robes and crowns for everyone who stays till the last. The ticket? The admission is free. He's already paid for everyone. He says you would not have been able to afford it. It cost him everything he had. Refreshments, new wine, bread, and a far-out drink he calls living water, followed by a supper that promises to be out of this world. Gift suggestions are your heart. He's one of those people who already has everything else. He's very generous in return, though. Just wait till you see what he has for you. Entertainment is joy, peace, truth, light, life, love, and real, true happiness. Communion with God, forgiveness, miracles, healing, power, eternity in paradise, and much, much more. And it's all rated G. Bring your family and friends. But RSVP is very, very important. He must know ahead so he can reserve a spot for you at the table. Also, he's keeping a list of his friends for future reference. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Party being given by his kids. And that's us. I hope to see you there.
Oh, wow.
And so when I found this, you know, I called my mom and I said, David and I just found this. What is this? It was crazy. And she said, you know, and I started sharing with her that Ashley had asked me to share. And she said, I'm going to leave it out on my table so that if people do come to my home this year, they're going to ask me, what is this? And I'm going to say, it's an invitation for you. And give this to them to share that invitation so that I can spread the good news. And that's our mission this year. And Jack, you're not going to let us forget it, are you? No. And I'm grateful for that. So I have a copy of the invitation if you want it, but this is going to be in my house. So that's my good news for you and for me. Joan, you're up.
That was spectacular. On Friday, I started to have my quiet time, and as I woke up in the morning, that verse from Psalm 65 came to mind. It says, you have crowned the year with your bounty. And bounty is in the Hebrew word, it's the same word as goodness. And sometimes in the past, I have come up with a word for the year. And this year it hit me, that's your word, goodness. And then this morning, I felt like I got another word, and it was, I lost it. Oh, wait, it's right here. Marvel. marvel, how marveling at God's goodness. Because again, that word is over and over again about that God would open my eyes, open our eyes to see God's goodness. So let's pray together. Father, we are, today is the first Sunday of a new year. And we all, everybody in the whole world is talking about last year and how hard it was. And yet, not one of us knows one headline that will be in the paper in 2000, in the paper, in the news in 2021. We don't know what the future holds, but you do. And I thank you for this this truth I read the other day. It says we launch our boats on the unknown waters of 2021 with you, O Father, as our harbor, you, O Jesus, at our helm, you, O Holy Spirit, filling our sails. We go forth, Lord, into the unknown, safe with you. And we are so thankful to be able to gather together here this morning and be grounded again, be anchored in the truths of the word, the blessing of fellowship, the gift of prayer. So I pray that as Jack brings the message to us today, we would be filled with hope and strength for what is to come, and that we would just be filled with seeing everywhere we look the goodness of God today and every day. And it's your name, and in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, here we are, the first Sunday of the new year, and as probably virtually all of you know, we are winding down the last few weeks of what has turned out to be a three-year journey. I know I didn't plan when we first embarked in the book of Luke that it would take 3 years, but it has, and I've really been very enriched because of it. I hope you have as well. And today we get to turn to the last chapter of the book, which has, of course, to do with the resurrection. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention for the folks, in case you didn't know, the people here in the auditorium, feel free to take your mask off. If you want to keep it on, that's great as well. Just so you people at home are aware, we are all socially distanced, sitting in family groups here. So feel free. Of course, when we exit today, we'll ask you to put it back on, but feel quite free to take it off. I do have one other super quick announcement, and that is that Joan and I have really been blessed and challenged and had our faith stimulated every day for the last, well, maybe 2 months now. Tom Short, every day on his YouTube channel at 8:30 live, and if you miss it, you can watch the click the link and watch it later. Go to YouTube and go to Tom the Preacher. And it started out praying for our nation 40 days ahead of the election, and now it has kind of morphed into just praying for our country, praying for ourselves. And again, it has really, really refreshed us and stimulated our faith. So we heartily encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity every day at 8:30 or whenever it's convenient for you thereafter. As I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the resurrection this morning. And of course, the idea of the resurrection is nothing new to any of us. As a matter of fact, as you probably are well aware, it is an intrinsic component of the gospel message. As a matter of fact, a person cannot be saved apart from an awareness of the resurrection. For if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Paul said. So it is so important. So I know you already know about the resurrection. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, for I received of first importance what I also convey to you, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was raised from the dead, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So I know that as I embark on this subject, that it's not anything new to anyone.
And because of that, I want to make an earnest appeal to you this morning. I took a look at a verse that I was familiar with, and really for the first time, I read the verse right next to it, the verse after. And you may have heard of Ecclesiastes 4:13, which says this: "A poor yet wise youth is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." What a pathetic sight that stimulates in our minds. Here's this old codger of a king, you know, he's grown kind of crusty, not only outwardly, but inwardly. He thinks he's seen it all and he knows it all. And oh, yeah. But then contrasted with him, there's this young man who's just so eager, and he knows that there's so much that he doesn't know. And he's just so eager to learn. He's poor. He's got a lot of strikes against him, but by golly, he's so hungry and he just wants to learn and absorb. So I'll read that verse again, and then I'm going to read the next verse. "A poor yet wise youth is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." Verse 14, "For he has come out of prison to become king, even though he was born poor in his kingdom." You know, that old crusty king, he has a story. He has a compelling story, and he has retold that story so many times. "I used to be a poor lad. And I came from nothing, and I worked my way up, and now I'm on the throne, and I'm the king, and boy, I've seen it all, and I've done so much." Yeah, your problem is you don't know how to receive instruction anymore. And I say this to those of us who've spent a long time in the kingdom. We've heard a lot about the resurrection. We've been to many Easter services. We've heard many resurrection messages. And our tendency is to think, yeah, okay, I know it. I've heard it. Thank you very much. Maybe I'll benefit from the message this morning. Maybe I'll acquire some little factoid, some little fact about the resurrection that maybe I didn't think about before, I didn't realize, and I'll just add that to my basket of knowledge that I already have about the resurrection and then go on my merry way. And I want to appeal to you by the Holy Spirit to not let yourself be that old and foolish king who can no longer continue receiving instruction from God. Because I believe that the resurrection, and I think you believe it too, that the information about the resurrection that's in the Bible is to do more than just help us know that it happened. It's to have a transforming result in our lives, and that's what I want to address this morning. The historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus has a direct bearing on the life of a believer, first in the salvation of his or her spirit. That's the first thing. That's pretty important, as I mentioned a minute ago. A person can't be saved apart from first knowing about and then believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. So, having to do with forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So this is pretty important for the believer. But second, having to do with the salvation of his or her soul. And you might think, Jack, didn't you already mention that salvation? It's so important for us to understand that this word salvation has a number of aspects to it. Are you saved? We ask that question to people, or at least we wonder it in our minds about people, or I might think of myself, I'm saved. Well, yes, that's true in a very real sense, and I don't want to diminish that in any way, shape, or form. I'm saved means in my spirit, I'm right with God. I've been justified through faith. Jesus paid for every last one of my sins. I have the guarantee, eternal life. I'm right with God. I have salvation. And yet there are other passages that refer to the salvation of one's soul, stating in no uncertain terms that it's a process that's happening. So in a very real sense, you might sit there and think, well, I'm saved. Okay, but in another sense, you know what? You aren't saved yet. God has you in process, and you haven't completed, you haven't emerged completely victorious yet over sin in your life, probably. There's still more saving of your soul. It's a big topic, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we're very clearly, the scripture lays out, 1 Thessalonians, that we're composed of body, soul, and spirit. And it's important to understand what are we talking about when we talk about salvation. Sometimes the scripture is talking about our salvation spiritually, that our spirit, our that part of us that communes with God. But then there's our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And our soul is that which expresses us. We know what our body is, our tangible, physical flesh and bones and organs and whatever else is going on in there. That's our body. But we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And yes, I'm saved. Yes, you're saved if you know Jesus Christ in terms of your spirit. But there is a soul saving that is now taking place in your life. And the resurrection relates to that. That's why I'm pleading with you this morning to not simply, oh yeah, resurrection, I know that whole dog and pony show. You know, we would never say that. That doesn't sound very spiritual. But in our minds, we go, oh yeah, whatever, okay. But please look at it freshly, and please expect God this morning to give you an aha moment or two, so that you realize how vitally important it is for you to marvel. I marvel. Joan and I did not have this conversation before. You did not know I was going to reference this word. No offense, hon. You probably didn't even know that this word is in today's passage, did you? You didn't? Okay. I didn't think you did. But we're going to read today's passage, and we're going to see how Peter marveled, and I'm going to go back to that at the end of my talk here. But I want to read today's passage, which is Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So what I want to do is take this passage apart a little bit, make a few comments about some of the words and phrases, and then I want to look at some passages that Peter wrote in one of his letters that have to do with the resurrection, because it's so very important that we just not read about the resurrection, but that we really grasp how it is that the resurrection is pertinent to my life on January 3rd, 2021, and will be on January 4th and April 5th and July 9th and every other day and hour and moment in the coming year. So, we begin with the word "but." It's a very important word in Scripture, a very powerful word. Grammarians call it a coordinating conjunction used to connect ideas that contrast. This was a contrast, wasn't it? Here was Jesus having gone through a horrific experience. And not only him, but the onlookers, his disciples, they were emotionally invested, weren't they? They had given 3 years of their lives with this man, and they were so emotionally invested. And so they were right there with him, seeing it happen, hearing the slaps and seeing the torture and seeing him impaled on the cross and put up and bleeding and calling out to his father. They witnessed the whole thing, just a horrific thing. And then it got dark, 3 hours of darkness, and he died. And wow, what an experience. But, wow, is that word pregnant or what? Very pregnant. One other very pregnant but is found in Ephesians 2. Verses 1 to 6. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. This is true of each one of us. We were going on a course. I might like to think, well, I was my own man doing my own thing. No, you weren't. You were going with the flow. This whole world is being led by the Pied Piper Satan, playing a tune, and they think they're independent thinkers and they're doing whatever they want to do. No, they are going according to a course, a flow, and it's away from God. And you and I were caught up in that flow. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4, but God, he didn't leave us there, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Wow, there's that super pregnant word, but, contrasting a very dark and negative and horrific situation, you and I being lost, with God's grace and connecting it with what? Being made alive together with Christ, being connected to the resurrected Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So again, a very powerful word here. So thinking about this powerful little coordinating conjunction, but considering what we see in Ephesians 2 and what we're going to see in Luke 24, I don't think it's an overstatement for any of us to say this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything, including even especially my own life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything, including especially my own life. But, verse 1 says, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. You may recall, as I mentioned, there were 3 hours of darkness from noon till 3 p.m. Jesus expired. He gave up his spirit. And then between, who knows exactly when, 3, 4 o'clock-ish until sunset. See, at sunset then commenced the Sabbath, because this was Friday. Sabbath started Friday night. So the women scurried around like women do, doing, taking care of what needed to be done. Hey, we're going to need to anoint this body, and let's get the spices and everything together. So they did their work. But then the sun went down, and last week's message, they rested according to the commandment. But now here it is, the first day of the week. It's Sunday, but it's kind of like, think like Monday morning, okay, for us. First day of the week, it's back of the work week. We're back working now, and we're going to go to the tomb, and we've done our preparation stuff. We've gotten the spices together. And have you ever had the experience where you did something, you worked hard at something, you spent a lot of time and energy, perhaps money, only to find out that really wasn't what God ultimately had in mind, but he let you think it was? That's happened to me before. I do all this. I think God wants me to do all this kind of stuff. And so here are these ladies, bless their heart, and they're just working hard. They don't know. You're not going to need those spices. There's no body. You're not going to need the perfume because he ain't there. They didn't know that. They're working away dutifully. They're doing their duty to God. Sometimes we sincerely think, I'm doing God's will. We do our duty to God, only find out that we were missing something big time. So very often, I think a lot of people, we do mean well. We mean well, but we miss something. And they were missing something as well. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, another gospel said that they came wondering, gee, how are we going to move the stone? I've seen some pictures and some pictures on cards, Easter cards, and some kind of cartoons. And the stone in some of these cartoons is like so mammothly big. No, I don't think it was that. It wasn't small. I think it was designed to be round and to roll maybe kind of down this track into place. So it was movable by a group of very strong individuals. So it was possible to move it. It wasn't that it was impossible to move. Now, for some people say that Jesus swooned on the cross. He didn't really die, but he was laid in the tomb and he kind of revived and pushed himself out. Well, the stone was big enough that's really not going to happen. So anyway, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They likely thought, well, gee, wonder who did this. Maybe some helpful people came and moved this for us because we need to go in and kind of take care of our responsibilities. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. See, the fact that they entered suggests to me that was their plan all along. Otherwise, I'd be like, ooh, I ain't going in there, you know. But no, they went in because that was their intention all along. We're going to find someone to move this stone. Oh, it's already been moved. Okay, cool. Let's go in and let's do what we need to do. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body. Jesus, God came in a body. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is for eternity going to be in a body. You and I are in bodies now. Jesus rose from the dead. It wasn't just that his spirit rose. Some people just say, well, it was just, it's the idea of God. It's the idea of Jesus. No, he in his body rose. His body wasn't there. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, why do you seek the living one among the dead? The living one. Christ is often viewed by the world as just one of many religious leaders, right? You got Buddha, you got Confucius, Muhammad, Jesus. He's kind of in there with all of them. No, he's the living one. He's the one who is the only one among them who is living right now. I just was reading this morning about Lenin, whose body is still around, and the politicians in Russia have been debating what to do with his body. Of course, under the Soviet Union system, I think I read between 1927 and 1972, there were 10 million people who lined up to see the body of Lenin lying there. And, okay, go ahead and venerate the body if you want to and commemorate him and value him if you think he's something special. But there's his body, and you can't do that with Jesus because his body is gone. No, he's the living one. He's not here. Well, Jesus is everywhere. Well, actually, no, he isn't everywhere. He is by way of the Holy Spirit, okay? But Jesus is right now at a particular geographical location. I don't claim to know where heaven is, but I know this ain't it. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. That's a line from some baseball movie. I like baseball, but baseball ain't heaven, let me tell you. Jesus is in heaven right now. That's where he is. He wasn't in the tomb. His body was gone. He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke with you while he was still in Galilee. saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. I looked this up, kind of dug back through the Gospels. Christology is a fascinating study. When you harmonize the Gospels and put everything together and follow the life of Christ, in Matthew 17, he gathers his disciples together, and they just have, from the end of the last few verses of 17 through chapter 18, the beginning of 19, he's just spending time with his homies, you know, the people that really are committed to him and that he's committed himself to preparing them for whatever's going to come next. And he's teaching them certain things. And while they're there in Galilee, he goes, look, this is a paraphrase. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise from the dead. Matthew, well, here it is, right? I'll just read it. I don't have to paraphrase. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. Wow, that suggests to me, why didn't the women go, oh, yeah, this is why the body's not here, because remember he said he'd rise. That had just gone right past them. Why? Well, Matthew 17 says after Jesus told them that he was going to be killed, their emotions, there's nothing wrong with emotion. God gave us our emotion. Perhaps their emotions were so overwhelmed them that they didn't absorb, they didn't recall, they didn't retain the knowledge that Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, they probably started saying to each other, remember when we were back in Galilee before he crossed over into Judea and started his trek toward Jerusalem where he'd be crucified? When we were just kind of hanging out together, remember he told us, oh, yeah. And they returned from the tomb and reported these things to the 11 and all the rest. They remembered his words. They remembered his words. In the end, it's not so important what I say, folks, or what Ashley says. What will really change your life is what God says. And so love the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, share the Word of God with others, and number 6, be a doer of the Word of God. And I'm going to say if you aren't engaged in the first 5, you probably aren't going to be doing number 6. If you aren't committed to loving, learning, memorizing, meditating on, and sharing the Word, I'd say it's pretty unlikely that you're going to be consistently a doer of the Word. So anyway, verse 10. Now they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles, but these words appear to them as nonsense. Why? Honestly, probably because it was coming from women. And back then, women were not, as I understand it, their testimony was not accepted in courts of law. It should not have appeared to them as nonsense. Why? Because they should have remembered the words of Jesus. Maybe the women said to them, to the apostles, the apostles were going, this is stupid, this is crazy, you're nuts, that didn't happen. And they're going, oh yeah, don't you remember what he said to us? Remember when we were back in Galilee? And they're going, oh yeah, you're right, okay, maybe so. You know, another reason I think we can have confidence the Bible's inspired is because it goes against conventional wisdom that God would communicate about the resurrection. It's not only that he communicated first to women and then God spoke to men. No, God spoke to the women first and through them disseminated the information about his resurrection. That's pretty cool. So in Christ, there's neither male or female. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Heirs. We have an inheritance. We are heirs. Peter later connects this idea of men and women and their, especially husbands and wives, their respective roles, but then also bringing in the idea of heirs. Yes, there is the idea in Scripture very clearly of a role of a husband and a role of a wife. The husband is the head of the wife. Very clearly, Paul states that. So men are to be leaders. They are the leaders in the relationship, and women are to be submitted. But men, if you for one second think that this in any way diminishes the value of your wife, somehow if you get to thinking that she looks forward to any less inheritance than you do in eternity, you got another thing coming. Not only that, God is going to be against you, even husbands. He will make sure that your prayers don't get answered if you have this warped idea. So let's not get off base here. So women share the same inheritance that we men have. So I want to take some time. I'm going to come back here to finish off this last verse of our passage. But before I do that, I want to jump over and read a couple of Peter passages and show us how the resurrection relates to our and informs our daily lives. And for that, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And boy, Paul can go on and on. He can have some convoluted sentences, but Peter is his rival. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7 verses. There are only 2 sentences. The first sentence is 336 words long. My wife has edited a lot of my newsletters over the years, and she tells me how verbose I am and how I run these sentences together. But it's a very spiritual and biblical thing, actually. 336 word sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, I'm not going to try to unpack this whole passage because we would be here a long time. So I'm just going to extract a couple of important things. But I want you to get the overall picture of these two sentences. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So again, the resurrection is very pertinent. Through the resurrection, he causes us to have new birth. We who believe in him are sharers in the new life that Jesus now possesses. And the indestructible, the writer of Hebrews says, it's an indestructible life. You and I share that together with him. So a person can have new birth, can have new life because Jesus rose to new life and gives that life to whoever turns to him in faith. That's the gospel. That is true, and we believe that. Because Jesus is alive, we believers have a living hope. You talk to young people, what do you plan to do with your, well, I want to do this or that. And they have these noble goals, and that's all well and good, and I never want to be a wet blanket on any young person's goals. But so very often, people's goals are, their hopes are earthly hopes. Good, yes, but they end at the grave. Your plans, whatever they may be for you accomplishing something, will likely end when you die. We've been born again to a living hope, a hope that goes beyond the grave. Because Jesus is alive, we believers have a living hope, a hope which is as sure as the sun coming up tomorrow. It is a hope as sure as Christ is alive right now and is at the right hand of the Father. So I look forward to obtaining that inheritance. You probably do too. You should. To obtain an inheritance, listen about the description of your inheritance, which is imperishable. Don't worry, it's not going to rot. It sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? It won't fade. It won't, you know. You buy this thing for only $19.95. Wow, your inheritance, it's imperishable, it's undefiled. No one's going to make it unholy or dirty it in any way. It will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. No one's going to steal it. No one's going to take it. No one's going to claim, hey, that was mine. No. There's a confusion. What happened to mine? No, don't worry. There won't be any of that. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow, not only is my inheritance protected, in the meantime, until I get there, I'm protected and you're protected. As we go through the difficulties of life, we can know we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't simply say for salvation as if salvation is just kind of one thing. There's a salvation that you and I will grasp and arrive at and experience in glory. There is another salvation to be experienced in this life. And the resurrection connects to that as well. I'm not there yet. In the meantime, God is not only protecting my inheritance for me, he's protecting me for a salvation ready to be revealed the last time. So, you have the salvation of your spirit, but you do not yet have the salvation of your soul. So in a sense, I can look at you and go, are you saved? Actually, no, you're not saved yet. That is an outcome resulting from you living by faith, faith in the resurrection, and appropriating the power of that resurrection for overcoming sin in your life and overcoming the devil who's seeking your demise. So that was the first sentence, the first few verses of the passage. The second sentence, you thought the first one was long? 336-word sentence. The next sentence is 454 words long. Yes, Peter, we're going to have a talk about this when I get up to heaven. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Fess up. Have you recently, when something's happened, have you gone, really? Really, God? Did I really need this? On top of everything? Really? I mean, I've had that. Is this really necessary? Actually, yeah. God is saying, this is necessary. Look, it's Father filtered. I've allowed this to happen. I have your best interest in mind. It's necessary. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to unpack it. If you are willing to, just take my word for it right now. The proper interpretation of this passage is the praise, glory, and honor of you. You're going to be praised. You're going to be glorified. You're going to be honored when you meet Christ in glory and he shares his glory with you. It's not just about Christ's glory. You're going to share that with him. That's what you have to look forward to. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I'm going to guess some of you aren't there yet. Do you rejoice with joy? I've got this joy. I can't even tell you. It's inexpressible. I'm so happy. Why? Because God has allowed these trials in my life and I'm really growing. He's refining my faith and it's becoming more purified and it's really awesome. Very few of us live life that way. But that kind of faith has an outcome in our lives, the salvation of our souls. Let's go back to the last verse now of the passage, verse 12 of Luke 24. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only. And listen, he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. There is a danger. You and I are so familiar with, oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Oh yeah, I know that. And we've ceased to marvel. There's a lot more marveling that could take place. To marvel, to be filled with wonder or astonishment. I'm a sports guy, pretty much. I know we have a church of, there are a few of us, it seems like maybe the majority are not sports people. As a matter of fact, I know an elder in this church who scheduled an elders meeting during the Michigan game. Yes. I didn't say anything about it, and I was at the – well, thankfully, the game got canceled because of COVID. So, but anyway, so just suffice to say that we have some people who are not necessarily sports people, but – I enjoy sports, although I do not have a TV. Not saying it's a sin to have a TV. I just don't have one, okay? So Joan and I were at my mother-in-law's home up in Stark County on New Year's Day, and so I was watching the Alabama-Notre Dame game. And my wife and her sisters were talking with their mom in the other room, and I had the game on. And lo and behold, this Alabama guy, he's running with the ball, and the Notre Dame guy comes up to tackle him. And lo and behold, this Alabama player leaps over top of the Notre Dame guy. It was amazing. It was just, you know. And then I saw the highlight on ESPN, and the ESPN commentator was saying, I was watching this game with my son, and he said, Daddy, that man just jumped over another man. And he said, I know, son. How did that, you know. So they were astonished by that. Okay. It's not inherently, I mean, thank God that that young man had the ability to leap like that. That's really wonderful. Good for him. I mean, seriously, good for him. Good for Alabama. Wonderful. Jesus rose from the dead, for crying out loud. What kind of shiny thing are you marveling at these days? Hey, did you see the latest, you know, viral whatever? Yeah, that's cool, you know. The devil will always see to it that there's a shiny thing to divert our attention to what we really ought to be marveling at. When I search, what's the definition of the word? So usually you put in the search bar, you just put the word, and the first sites that come up are the definition sites, right? Merriam-Webster, whatever. I put the word marvel in. What came up first? The comics, the movies, yeah. Okay, if you're a Marvel hero person, that fine, whatever. I'm not so much, but I'm going to say I believe, and maybe there's some redeeming qualities to some of those movies, I don't know. I believe the devil is always wanting to mimic our hero, Jesus Christ. To go, oh yeah, there's Superman, and there's the Green Monster, whatever these guys are, you know. Oh, and there's, you know. No, he really did. Jesus really did rise from the dead. So the last words of the passage are this, and he went to his home, marveling at what had happened. And I just want to ask you, I just want to encourage you this morning, go home and marvel. Go home today. And just marvel. And let 2021 be a time when, and as you're in the Word, you're going to come across verses having to do with the resurrection because it just permeates. We just don't begin to have time to touch on the various, I'm out of time. I was going to look at another passage. We're out of time. I don't have time. It's so much relates to you and me and how we're living our lives. I want you to go home and marvel at what has happened. Marvel at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and engage the process as Peter did. I want to encourage you to engage in the marveling process in 2021. Time will fail me if I begin to get into the passages having to do with the resurrection, but I just want to encourage you to begin marveling and seeing how very relevant it is to how we approach life, how we think about life, how our daily lives play out practically, hour by hour, even minute by minute, how we think about the temptations and enticements to sin, which are all around us, how we think about our enemy, the devil, who desires our moral and spiritual destruction. Sin is all about us. Temptation is all about us. And the resurrection factors into you mastering. Sin is crouching at the door, but you must master it. How do you master it? It has to do with the resurrection. Look, it's not just something that we're just going to celebrate it on April 4th, Easter Sunday. No, it is something that has relevance to your life every hour. Marvel at that. Appreciate that. And ask God, expect God to show you how the resurrection of his son impacts the way you're thinking about life, you're thinking about the future, the way you relate to people, the way you handle sin, the way you think about life. Will you do that? Go home. Be like Peter. You know, Peter was with, one last time, I'll end with this. Peter was hanging with some guys, right? The other disciples. And the women came to where the guys were. But when he was struck with the reality of the resurrection, he got off by himself. He went home. He didn't stay with the other guys. I encouraged you guys last Sunday, hey, the new year's coming up. Try to carve out some time. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of y'all did that? I can tell you, I did not do it. Because I thought I had COVID, actually. On Tuesday, Joan and I had some horrific symptoms. We called our doctor. They arranged for us to get in, got tested. We're negative. I think it was answered prayer that Dennis and Rick and others were praying for us on Tuesday morning. I'm going to say it was answered prayer. I don't know for sure. Why don't we say that God could have, can God cure COVID? I think so. Anyway, I canceled my personal retreat. I haven't gone yet. I was hoping to go at the end of the year. It would have just fit so nicely, it seemed. I had my plan. God had a different plan. So if you haven't had some private time, it's the 3rd of January. Okay, make it happen. Can you just make it happen? Get off by yourself and marvel and ask God to show you specifically how his resurrection touches and changes you where you are right now in your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the exhortation from Ecclesiastes to not be that crusty old king. We each have a story. He had a story. He himself was once a poor lad and rose up, and now he's the king. And Lord, we can get kind of crusty, and I've got my story that I tell, and I think I've pretty much figured all this Christian life out, and I'm so often mistaken. Lord, I want to marvel. Help my brothers, help my sisters here to marvel afresh and even more deeply at the reality of the risen Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, at this time, I believe Mr. Paul Marshall has some announcements for us, and he's going to do that.
I'm here with my lovely assistant. Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me? Hope so. Next week, January 10th, will be a big week of special announcements for New Song. Please make a point to attend online or in person. I could tell you now what those special announcements are, but that would make this announcement superfluous, so I'm not going to say anything. All right, so show up next week. We are looking for volunteers to help us pack away Christmas decorations. It is time to take down the Christmas decorations after the service today. So please stay and help if you can. All right. Please see your email for a message from the elders regarding Great Commission churches and direct any questions to Jack and Ashley. I want to emphasize this because I'm sure that if you're not familiar with the history of Great Commission, that you may wish to clarify on this. It's not necessarily something that you automatically will understand. So please feel free. I'm sure Jack and Ashley would love to talk to you about it. If you miss Faith Walkers 2020, and I know I missed at least half of it, Rising Above, you can catch the recordings on the YouTube channel. And I am looking here at the announcements on newsong.family/live. And there is a direct link to the YouTube channel, but I'm sure you can search for it, Faith Walkers East 2020, and get that links to some of these great messages. I heard one by Frank Liu was excellent. Here it says that the fourth night by Chris Old was especially good. So maybe the Chris Old one is even better than the Frank Liu message. So I can't wait to see that one. We are looking for volunteers who would like to help with the Sunday morning audio and video. This has been a need for several weeks, so we really, really need people. could you please consider this if you have any desire at all to help with that? We would really appreciate it. Sunday morning audio and video help. Normally we do a baby dedication on Sanctity of Life Sunday in January, but due to COVID, we will postpone. We're not canceling, just postponing to later in the year when it's safer to have the wee ones and visiting family members all together. And finally, I'm going to make one announcement about prayer. Please consider, Tom Short is continuing to pray and share the word at 8:30 a.m. every morning. Catch him live on YouTube or stream it later. Once again, the direct link is here on the announcements on New Song Family /live. All right, I'm ready to turn it back to those of you who are in the main compartment there at New Song.
I'll add my encouragement to Tom. Tom has switched his format. Now it's more teaching and prayer. And yesterday and the first were both really fabulous. Yesterday was about taking responsibility for ourselves. Wow, it was powerful. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for how you work and how you spoke to me this morning about marveling and without even discussing it with Jack. But Lord, we want to be a people who marvel at what you've done. For truly, you have done great things. You have raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, our lives are completely changed. Thank you that you are taking us from glory to glory. You are growing us, and that we have opportunities this year. Whatever happens, Lord, whatever fiery trials that we go through, and surely we will, are going to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, open our eyes to your goodness. Open our eyes to what you're doing. Give us hearts that marvel. May we be a people this year who are transformed by the resurrection. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.